Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's good to see you, and I want to just say, Pastor Nelly and Tina, I know Tina just got back from Manila. You've done a great job. What's really exciting is there's so many people I don't recognize here, which is wonderful. And there are a lot of people I do recognize. And so I'm delighted to be here. We moved here in 2012 to plant this church. And before that, we were in Auckland, New Zealand, as Pastor Nelly said, for 12 years. And so prior to that, I was the regional director. Now we live in Dallas, Texas. And no, I don't have a cowboy hat or boots yet. But we do eat a lot of barbecue. So Nelly, I think you'd love it there. We're really delighted to be back here with you. 2 years ago, June the 10th, we got on a plane and we left. Roisin was one of the ones that took us to the airport. We just knew that we were leaving this church in great hands with Nelly and Tina. And just to see what God has done, we're just so honored and blessed. Just not just our son in the Lord, but just to see how God has honored the seeds that we planted and all the disciples here. And I've got so many great memories. I remember the time when Alex Ravina, you know, Alex looks all debonair now, and he's kind of up here, you know, talking real professional-like. But I remember when he walked into our house on a Friday night, he knocks on the door, and he comes to the door, and he's sitting there with shorts on, and he goes, "Hey, mate, is there a prayer meeting here?" I mean, that's all he said. I said, "Yes, there is." He just walks in, you know, like that. But the thing is, he had on shorts, and on one leg, I think he still has it, one leg, he's got Jesus on a cross, and on the other leg, he's got a tattoo of a demon on a motorcycle or something. And I thought, this guy needs prayer. He walks in, and the next thing I know, he begins telling me his testimony, and I was just amazing how where God had delivered him from. And now, you would have never thought, here he is, a missionary going to Indonesia, witnessing to Muslims, expanding and advancing the gospel. It's powerful. You know, and then Michael Cole. You know, Michael, where's Michael? Is he back there? Michael, I remember when he came, he came to church via an email. There was this, he went to the Philippines and met Alma, who he's married with now, and she was praying that there would be an Every Nation church, and we just got there. So he emails me and says, "This sweet Filipino girl wants me to email you. Can I come to your house for dinner?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And guess what? He came, and he's been eating with us ever since. No, I mean, he came, and he was a part of the family from that point on. Just faithful, and God's given him a beautiful wife, and that's how I know God loves that young man, and gave him a beautiful wife. But just to see all the things that happened. And Roisin, Roisin, you know, you guys got a real gem here as a campus minister. She is mighty in the spirit. But Roisin, I remember when she first got saved in Auckland, New Zealand, and they had to lasso her, bring her to church, and finally she came, and now she's changing the world. There are people being impacted. And that's really what we're talking about today is advancing the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. What does it mean to advance? What does it really mean for us as individuals, individually and corporately, to advance the kingdom? Well, let's start with a definition. The word advance means to move forward, proceed, press on, push forward, make progress. Everyone say make progress. To make progress, to make headway, to gain ground. We know what that is, to play rugby and to gain ground, positive ground. That's what it means. It actually means to experience progress, breakthrough, and increase. God wants us to experience progress, breakthrough, and increase. Not just hear about it from somebody else, but can I tell you what? God in His kingdom, in His economy, ladies and gentlemen, wants you and I to be able to have marked increase in progress in our lives. And God's going to do that here at Every Nation Brisbane. In fact, He's going to do it across the whole South Pacific because He's raising up people just like you who have a heart for the kingdom. And I want to talk to you in the few moments we have tonight about really how do I make an advance? How do I make progress? How do I increase? Can I tell you what? God wants you to experience increase. Amen. I want you to touch your neighbor and say, God wants you to experience increase. We're not talking about the waste either. We're talking about in your ability, in your influence as an individual, as a Christian, that you have great influence and great power. God wants that for you and I. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible says this, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Guess what? Jesus, when he was on the earth, just like you and I are meant to, he started increasing. He started out one way, but the Bible says he grew in stature. That means he got big and strong, but he also increased in his anointing as he was on the earth. Isaiah 9:7 says this, when it talks about Jesus coming and his kingdom, it says a child will be born to you, a son will be given. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Eternal Father. And I love what it says here, there will be no end to the increase. Listen to that. Not only will he increase, there'll be no end. There'll be no limit to what he will do in the earth. Can I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen? You are living in the most exciting time in the history of the planet. Because there are more people here who are confused about reality. There are more people who have questions about what life is all about. And you and I have the answers because God has changed us and caused his spirit to live in us. There will be no end to the increase of his government. There's increase happening. There's going to be revival that hits in Brisbane. There's going to be revival that hits in Auckland. And you know what? I love to see all these Polynesian people praise God. I love to see how many Samoans we got. Talofa Lafa. Let me tell you what. I love Samoa. I've been there many times. Been to Tonga. Been to Fiji. And I know we're starting a church in Fiji. Can I tell you what? You're part of that. One of our other sons in the Lord that Nellie knows real well, Jarrett Saniula. He's our senior pastor starting a church right there in Suva, Fiji, on the University of the South Pacific. That's a part of our family. They're a part of our spiritual DNA, and we're a part of that. There'll be no end to the increase. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says this, the word of God kept spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. That's good when priests obey. They were even the Jewish priests were obeying the faith. Well, what was happening? There was a spirit of increase. There was a spirit to advance the cause of Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says this, so the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria and Brisbane and Logan and the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast, Malulaba, enjoyed peace, being built up. Everyone say built up. Going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? God is in the business of advancing his kingdom. Our job here in Brisbane is to make the name of Jesus famous. It's to make disciples, not just people who come to church and sit here and scratch the back of your head and think, when's he going to finish? Because I'm getting kind of hungry and Nando's is around the corner and, you know, or there's Max Brenner, I want some chocolate. You know, I know what people think when they come to church. Why am I preaching about it? I don't know. Anyway, stop thinking about that now. Let's get back to the sermon. But the point is, God wants to make disciples. God wants you to advance, not just as an individual, but he wants you to have influence in this culture, influence in your family. And God willing, I'm going to prophesy over some of you after the service. And I believe God is going to anoint you and empower you to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, very familiar scripture, says he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body, Christ, a body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. You know what? God wants us to mature as men and women. How many know a little six-month-old baby crawling in the floor is really cute? Have you ever seen a little baby? They're really cute. when they're 6 months, but when they're 25 and they crawl on the floor, it ain't cute. And so he wants us to mature. He wants us to increase. He wants us to have the capability and the potential to advance his kingdom. You say, what do you do, Pastor Ken? Let me tell you, when we moved back to America, we did what we always do. We got on the university campus. We started making disciples. I started a Bible school. I did what I did all the time. I'm on the campus at University of North Texas. My beautiful wife, Renee, she's on the campus. She's got about 15, 20 girls she's discipling. World changers that are wanting to change. Why? Because we want to advance. We don't want to sit around and people pat us on our back and say, remember when you did that? Remember when this happened? Remember back then? Have you ever talked to an old rugby player? And all of a sudden, he remembers back the glory days. And you know what? Somebody, the older he gets, the better he was. Have you met those guys? Yeah, I remember back when I played in the state of origin. You know, it was us against New South Wales. I'll tell you, mate, it was tough in there, you know. And all of a sudden, he starts telling, you think, this sucker, he wasn't even in the game. He was on the sideline giving out water. All of a sudden, it's changed. I don't want to be that guy who's telling these stories of fabricating what could have been. I want to say, God, I've got a lot of life in me. I want my Christianity to count. Hallelujah. I want to advance. And see, we cannot advance the kingdom unless the kingdom gets advanced in us. That's why Jesus said this. Jesus said this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whenever Jesus said truly, truly, that meant he's not lying to us. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. Question, did Jesus ascend to the Father? Did Jesus ascend to the Father? Well, we're stuck with it. Guess what? We've got greater works to do. Not greater in quality, but greater in quantity. Why? Because there's more of us. And so we want to believe God for signs and wonders and miracles. You know what this generation is looking for? They're looking for an authentic, real, miracle-working gospel that works. Not just in word only, but in spirit and in power. About a month ago, I was in Arizona preaching at Arizona State University. And the Lord spoke to me when I was preaching. He said, there's a woman here who's having some problems within her ovaries and in her female parts. And I just began to say, this is a woman here, and you've got two cysts on one of your ovaries. And there's a lump on your uterus. Right after the meeting, she came forward and she, with tears coming down her eyes, she goes, I'm going to see my OBGYN, my gynecologist, tomorrow. I've got two cysts on my ovary and two big lumps, 2.5 inches long on my uterus. She went to the doctor the next day. Her pastor texted me on Tuesday and said, she went to the doctor. They had tested positive the week before. She came back. They couldn't find anything wrong at all. Let me tell you what, we didn't have to ask her back to church. Guess what? She came back to church bringing all her whole family. Why? Because there was an advancement of the truth of the gospel in her heart. Let me tell you what, I just remember, where's Seda? Where's my man Seda? In Novaline. Let me tell you, I remember when I met Seda. Seda was an accident waiting to happen. I was in the Auckland airport, and Seda come out there, and, you know, he had those skibby shorts on like all those Kiwis wear, and it's freezing out there. I mean, and there were about three sizes too small. He's coming out there, and Seda's got the biggest calves known to man. In fact, the Incredible Hulk is envious of his calves. Seda's got these big, and he was a big rugby player, and, you know, I worked with athletes, and I just said, hey, look, you know, let's talk. He thought I was a scout from the NFL in America. And I didn't say I wasn't either. I said, and, you know, he came, and I started doing a Bible study. He got saved. Novaline got saved, and their young boy named Dijon had juvenile leukemia. And, you know, I love, Seda was just saved. He was still dripping wet from the baptism. He said, oh, Pastor Ken. The Bible says, you believe the Bible. And Pastor, if you believe it, you pray, he could do it, hey. I said, that's right. That's right, Seda. You know what I love about new Christians? They are just dumb enough to believe the Bible. Amen. They are so gullible. They say, if the Bible says it, I'm going to believe it. You know what? We laid hands on that little boy in our living room. 12 Anderson in Albany, Auckland, New Zealand. And a week later, he was totally healed. Grew about 5 inches in a month. Started gaining weight. And can I tell you what? Satan started bringing all of his meat. And that's how he drugged this rascal right here, Norman. He said, you got to come right now to this meeting. And can I tell you what? After 2 meetings, he was my usher. You know, we got him saved, sanctified, and enlisted. Hallelujah. And that's how God does it. What was happening? God was advancing. God wants to advance. But he doesn't advance just with a good preacher and a good pastor like Nelly and Tina. He advances in you. You are the body of Christ. Let me tell you what. Nelly can preach good. But can I tell you what? They need to hear you preach. They need to see you preach. They need you to be a walking message that God is alive and well in me. He's changed my life. I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm not the same woman I used to be. There is a God in heaven, and he is real. He has transcended heaven and earth, and he lives inside of me, and he wants to know you. Let me tell you, that's what advancement is all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about playing church. It's not having a little religion so you've got your fire insurance card snapped. It's so that your life can be changed and you can advance to the kingdom of God. There are people here who are hoping your Christianity is real. They're hoping what you're doing is really real. They hope you're not faking the funk. They hope you're not playing church. They hope you really have what you say you have. And they want to see a demonstration of the spirit of power in God in your life. And that's what every nation is all about. That's not in my notes, but that's free. Praise God. I want to talk to you just a little bit about God's purpose for us is for us to advance individually. This church is going to grow because you've got great leadership. You've got Nelly and Tina, Roisin, and Easter, and Michael, and a great hosting cast, Alex. It's going to advance, but let me tell you, that's not enough for us to have a great church that loves God and has good services. We need to be salt and light in the culture. We need to be able to advance individually. God's purpose is for us to advance. Christians are not experiencing spiritual maturity because they are victims of something called the empty self. Everyone say empty self. What do you mean by empty self, Pastor Kim? What are you talking about? Well, I'm going to explain it here. There's a thing by a psychologist. His name is Dr. J.P. Moreland. He's written several books. And he coined this phrase, there are people in the West, people in what we call first and second world countries, that are experiencing what we call the empty self syndrome. The empty self syndrome. What it does is it produces a lack of maturity and leaves believers without the necessary tools to impact their culture for God's kingdom or to experience what the Bible calls the mind of Christ. The purpose of the Christian life is to bring honor to God. The reason you're saved is not just to go to heaven. The reason you are saved. See, if heaven was all we wanted, the moment you got saved and baptized, we'd put a gun to your head and pow, say, well, he's up there with Michael and Gabriel. He won't backslide. He made it. Can I tell you, that is not our goal, just to get you to heaven. Heaven is going to happen. And I know a lot of you want to go there, but let me tell you what, God wants you right here. And let you know, I grew up in a church that I always sang about going to heaven. One bright morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, oh glory. Remember that one? Fortuna, you probably remember that one. One bright morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, oh glory. And you see all these old ladies, and they start getting, you know, these fat deacons start dancing around. They want to fly away. And you know what the message should be is take your wings off. The job's not done. You can't go to the sweet by and by. You're in the nasty now and now. There's a job to be done. Can I tell you what? We are here to honor God with our lives. Heaven will take care of itself one day. That's one of the fringe benefits. But we are here to honor God. The purpose of the Christian life is to bring honor to God. This involves finding one's vocation and pursuing it for the good of both believers and non-believers. While the process of being changed into a more Christ-like person, doing this well involves developing our intellectual and our moral virtues over a long period of time. Everyone say long period of time. and delaying the constant desire for immediate gratification. To really be a champion in any endeavor, do you realize you cannot do what your flesh wants you to do? You have to deny the flesh. You have to deny instant gratification. You have to do the hard yards, as you say. But we're here just to honor people. We're here to help people, Christians and non-Christians. We're not here just to have church. We're here to say, God, what can I do to really be effective, salt and light in the church? In this whole thing called the empty self, where it stigmatizes us and causes us to be all self-absorbed, is the very thing that's infecting many Christians in Australia, New Zealand, and definitely in America. Let me give you some of the symptoms of the empty self. Number one, infantilism. That's a fancy word for acting like a baby. Infantilism, what is it? Many observers of American culture in the West note that adolescent personality traits are staying with young people well after their childhood. Stretching out a 4-year college degree to 5 or 6 years, delaying marriage into their 30s are a sign that they are not committed to hard work and hard work is not highly valued. Some even go further, seeing an infantile demand for pleasure pervading all our culture. In other words, does it make me feel good? I want to get my needs met. I want to have, does this church really feed me? Well, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says, go to the church that feeds you. Find it. I've already looked. It's not in there. Or go to the church of your choice. You know what? That's not in the Bible. That's in Google or Chrome, but it's not in the Bible. You know, it's not the church of your choice. So we have a whole culture of people who simply are absorbed in this infantile, give me what I want when I want it. You ever been around a baby? Guess what? They don't have patience. They want it, and they want it now. Isn't that right? And so that's what infants do. There's an infantile mentality in our culture where if I don't get it now, or that person gave me a prophecy, I'd be married. That was 3 weeks ago. Come on, God, what's wrong with you? Are you kidding? You don't need a wife. You need to get a job. Amen. You say, well, I'm in love. Love don't pay the bills. Do you know that? Whoever wrote that song, All You Need Is Love, they didn't live in Brisbane. You know, you need money, you know. Without money, the honey don't last. So the whole point is that we've got to be able to say, God, I'm meant to grow up. God, I'm meant to do something with my life. God, I want to take this thing and I want to be able to advance my life and do something called maturity. I love my children. Rachel and Abby, they just graduated and graduated with honors. Rachel graduated in music. She graduated magna cum laude, and Abigail graduated magna cum laude, which Abigail didn't even make a B, her whole thing. Highest honors. Like I tell everybody, when I got out of college, I graduated, thank you, Laude. I was just glad to get out. You know, I just wanted to get out any way I could. But here they are, and guess what they did? The moment they graduated, they didn't go to any party. They got on the mission field. One went to Italy, and the other went to Brazil. Why? Because they understood there's something about advancing the kingdom. And we can't advance the kingdom unless the kingdom is advanced in us individually. So I want to do great things. Okay, you reading your Bible? You're praying? You're fasting? Conviction just fell. Why do they call it fasting? Because it always goes so slow when you do it. Oh, God, it's not fast at all. It's really slow. Are you doing the hard yards? Are you denying the flesh? You think God's just going to anoint you because you got a pretty smile and you got an orange lava? He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it just because somebody likes your wardrobe or you've got a good personality. Let me tell you, you're going to have to pay to walk in this ability to advance. Infantilism. Number two, narcissism. That's a fancy word. It just means people who are self-absorbed. Narcissus was a lad in Greek mythology who looked at his image reflection in a pool, and he fell in love with his reflection, so he didn't do anything else. He admired his own looks. Can I tell you what? There are narcissistic people everywhere you go. They're looking. I mean, how many you got friends on Facebook? You know those pictures of them, that's not really them. You know that, don't you? That's a glamour shot, isn't it, Nelly? I mean, I've seen some people that are friends on Facebook. I see them in real life. What? Are you kidding me? That's not really them in life. They got all this makeup, and it's a glamour shot. Like, you know? And I'm not preaching against makeup. If you need it, praise God, go for it. You know, now they even now the guys wear it with all this gender dysphoria. You know, they got the eyelashes that wave back at you. You know, you can put them on. I mean, we're not preaching against that. I'll never preach against something that's helping folks. The point is people are so into themselves, the image, they're narcissistic. Let me just read this. It's one of the symptoms of the empty self. The empty self is highly narcissistic. Narcissism is keenly developed sense of self-infatuation. Say self-infatuation. People who are in love with themselves. As a result, personal fulfillment becomes the ultimate goal in life. In the most dangerous form, one relationship with God can be shaped by this need. In other words, God, I come to you if you'll meet my needs. You're my little genie. I rub the bottle and Jesus, you come answer my prayer. It's not about the kingdom. It's not about advancing his agenda. It's about advancing your own self-indulgent self-image. And it's in the church. And that's why people don't advance, because they're so worried about their image. They're so worried about what people think. Can I tell you what? If you're worried about what people think, if you realize how little they actually do think about you, you won't worry. Let me say that again. If you're worried about what people think, if you realize how little they actually do think about you, you won't worry. Number three. We live in a sensate culture. That's a simple way of saying we give into our five senses feelings and wanting to have, you know, our little lifestyle and consumerism. And we want this and we want that. And if it feels good, it follows naturally that the empty self syndrome encourages the belief in the physical sense of the perceptive world, and that's all there is. In other words, if you can see it and touch it, it's my car, it's the way I look, my new dress, my new high heels, my new house. It's all about image. It's all about this trivial stuff. It's all about sense. How do I come across? How do I look? And because of that sensate culture that we live in, we, if we're not careful, we're more worried about our perception and being popular and how we're perceived by non-Christians than we are about advancing. There are some times when I'm not relatable. Next 2 weeks from now, I'll be 60 years old. I'm relating to 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds. In fact, I've got disciples that are 25, 30 years old. My son Benjamin, he says, Dad, quit acting like you're 45. You know, like, I'm out there playing basketball. I'm doing stuff. And these guys, they don't know any difference. You know, I don't have the trendy stuff. I don't relate to them. I don't have the flat-billed baseball cap sideways and the pair of pants hanging over your derriere about to fall down. You know, I don't have any of that. If I did, I'd only let Renee see it. But anyway, I don't have any of that. But guess what I do have? I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And we can be worried about being cool and trendy and the sensate culture, and am I hip and cool and relatable? And you know what? They're going to go to hell because you'll never be cool enough to convince them that God is real. It's not about your cool and your popularity and their perception of you and if you're hip enough and if you're relatable enough. Is there something in you that's so attractive, that is so appealing to them? They say, I want what you've got. I want a relationship with God. Folks, we're living in a culture that is so screwed up. They are so messed up. You may have heard about this gender dysphoria in America, where now they're trying to say, because there's a few people who suffer from gender confusion, it's 0.03%, not even 1%, 0.003%. We're saying we want to be able to go into a bathroom that we identify with psychologically, even though physically we're not that sex. In fact, sex is a social construct. We don't even need to have it. In fact, I'm a man, but if I dress up like a woman, I want to go in and I want to be able to go and go into a woman's bathroom. And it's what's nuts is there are people in the educational system saying, oh, okay, that's fine. And I was at this university, Pastor Nelly, and, you know, I don't know. This is just, there's just something in me. I want to push the envelope. I went to this gender blender thing they were having. And I walked in there and I say, I self-identify as a 5'2" Chinese woman. Can you help me? She goes, you're not 5'2". I said, it doesn't matter. I identify as 5'2". And I said, a Chinese woman. And this is a person with a PhD. And she didn't know what to do with me. I said, how are you going to justify me going into a woman's toilet when I don't have the proper plumbing? I'm identifying with a woman, or I want to be a woman. And if I turn out being a sexual predator, then who are you to judge me? You know? And she just looked at me and she didn't know what to say. Can I tell you what? God created them, male and female. He created them. He made the difference. He made the distinction. There are so many people that need us to show up with just a little bit of truth, just a little bit of Bible, just a little bit of character, just a little bit of anointing, and we will blow their doors away and they'll be in the kingdom of God. God wants to advance his kingdom, but he's not going to do it with great pastors and good music and just good services. He's going to do it as men and women who love God, who've been radically changed by the Spirit of Christ, start advancing the kingdom in themselves, and they step out of their comfort zone and say, God, use me. God, use me. I'm going to advance. I'm going to take a step forward. God, I'm going to make a difference. Lord, I'm going to be an agent of change in this world of confusion. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Tua, if you could come on up. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to glorify you and to honor you. And Lord, this day I pray, right here in our church service, that we as your people would not just say we love you, we know we've been saved, we know we've been redeemed by your blood, but God, you saved us to make a difference. You saved us to be an army that advances your cause. Because of that, Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts. Father, we repent for being afraid. We repent for taking the easy way. We repent for just worried, being worried about what people think. We repent for being narcissistic and, Lord, for having little infantile baby temper tantrums when things don't go our way. Father, I pray today that we would indeed be the people, the army of God you've called us to be. And Father, I know there's some wonderful people here who love you, but Lord, you're calling them out of their comfort zone. You're calling them out where they're at to be influencers. I want you to look at me for a second. I feel like this is real important. The main thing that keeps Christians immobilized and disqualified is they somehow think what I'm going to do is going to be insignificant. It's not that much. It won't really make much difference. It won't really advance the ball down the field. It really won't help the kingdom. So I'll just be quiet and play it safe and just do my little bit that's very, very small and very insignificant. Can I tell you what? Whatever you do is not insignificant. It may not be prominent, but it's very significant. Listen to me. There's a thing called the butterfly effect. How many have heard of that in physics? The butterfly effect. What it is a butterfly flapping his wings here in Australia. When the molecules of the air strike other molecules, and those strike still other molecules, that on the other side of the planet, there is a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico from the butterfly effect. And what they found out is, in physics, that's a real phenomenon. It's called the law of sensitive dependence upon initial conditions. The law of sensitive dependence upon initial conditions. That one thing that looks insignificant to me, all of a sudden it pushes one more thing. Then it pushes one more thing. Then there's a ripple effect. Then all of a sudden, that little prayer of me reaching out of my comfort zone and witnessing or sharing my testimony, now there's somebody who's saved, who's an apostle in Africa, and he's got 1,000 churches because I did something that looked small and minute and insignificant. Folks, don't let the devil lie to you and say, my little bit doesn't count. Yes, it does. There's an effect. There's a ripple effect that you and I can have. Let me tell you something. This man here, he remembers this. I first met him at Auckland University, me and David Spring. Guess what he was doing? He was manning a booth as a student. And we just came there. We were brand new. And we sat beside Nelly. And tell you the truth, I thought, he's got a better spot than us. I hope he's not here tomorrow so we can get his spot. And I mean, let's pray for favor so he doesn't show up. Can I tell you what? And I think we had New Agers over here and we had the homosexuals over there. You see? And it was a mixed bag. But, you know, I thought, golly, it's amazing. From that point, we struck it off and we start talking. And Pastor Nelly, he was a student president of his group. And he said, would you come and just speak on a Wednesday night at the chapel at Auckland Uni? I said, I will. From that, guess what? He said, I think God is doing something here. Would you come back next week? That was the beginning of what we call our Victory Leadership Institute, our ENLI. Can I tell you what? Over 600 people have graduated from New Zealand, from Every Nation Leadership Institute. It started with Nelly Atinga meeting me and saying, would you come and just come do a Bible study for our South Pacific student group? Can I tell you what? There are church planters, there are apostles, there's prophets, there's business people that came out of that. And you look at it and say, it's just somebody sitting next to a booth. It's nothing. Don't waste your time. Go watch the rugby. Get on YouTube. Get on Facebook. Just do something else to entertain yourself. Just to kill time. Yet God is saying, no, it isn't small. It's big. It's a butterfly effect. You're going to touch something, and there's going to be a ripple effect. And nations and people and souls are going to be ushered into the kingdom of God because you weren't a selfish little consumed person living in a narcissistic universe. But you did something. I want to challenge you. God wants to advance his church, but he's not going to do it just with Norman and Easter and Nelly and Tina and Roisin. He's going to do it with you. But you're going to have to say, God, I'm going to stand up. I don't want to be a spectator anymore. I want to get in the game. I want to play this thing called Christianity. That's when it gets fun. That's when it really gets fun. If that's you, with every head up and every eye open, if that's you, say, Pastor Ken, I'm tired of being comfortable. I'm tired of being narcissistic. I'm tired of being infantile. I'm tired of playing for my little what feels good and what doesn't feel good. I want to be used for God. I want you to stand to your feet right now. 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 Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I'm thanking you right now. Even this standing up is the first butterfly effect. By acknowledging I need to change, by acknowledging I want to make a difference, by acknowledging I'm not going to stay where I'm at, Lord, there's something happening already. I pray all across this room, by the power of the living God, that, Lord, there would be advancement taking place in each heart, in each soul. There are family members that are waiting and praying. There are teammates and their colleagues at university that are waiting and praying for these people. So, Lord, I pray that today that they would get out and they would start opening their mouth and telling people about God. They'd be inviting them to church, inviting them to a life group. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is advancing. Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to do great and mighty things in and through us. And we give you praise and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap. Can you? Come on, put your hands together.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.